I'm going to be reading from the second chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And if I have a thought that I would want you to remember this morning, it would be this. The Lord said, I remember. And there are a lot of things in the word of the Lord that he says, I remember. And he also said, and you have forgotten. You have forgotten. I think of many things that the Lord has done for me over the years, and he has blessed me in so many ways. And I truly am convinced that as good as he has been, and as convinced as I am that I am not deserving of those, that I've forgotten many, many of the times that he has truly blessed me that I should have remembered. We all probably are a little bit guilty of that. It gets awfully easy for us to forget about probably the most important event that has ever happened in our lives. Was when the Lord reached down and saved our soul. And it isn't that we don't remember it, because I'm sure that that's a special time in every single one of our lives, and one that we won't just entirely forget. By the same token, there are many times that by the way we're living, by the way we're acting, it would appear that we've forgotten just how good the Lord has been to us. The children of Israel in the word of the Lord are a prime example of how we are today, and often we're as guilty of things as these people were. And so the Lord had called an old prophet by the name of Jeremiah. And he said, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Now the Lord says, I remember how you were when you were down in Egypt. And let me just remind you this morning that the children of Israel had been down in Egypt in bondage for many, many years, hundreds of years. And while they were there, God had continued to prosper them. They had continued to increase in number, and their herds, their livelihoods had prospered. And it seemed like the more that they prospered, the more of a burden that the Egyptians wanted to put upon them. And it just seemed like that every time that the Egyptians increased their burdens and their labors, that God continued to bless them more. There finally came a point in time, though, where that the burdens became so heavy that the children of Israel got serious with the Lord. Much of the time that we spend today, we're not really that serious with the Lord. We just kind of dilly-dally along, and we go along, and we accept his blessings, and we forget just how thankful we should be. And we forget that it is because of him and because of his goodness that we enjoy the lives that we have today. And the children of Israel, as they begin to get down serious about it, they begin to pray unto the Lord and ask the Lord to send them a deliverer. They wanted to get out. They wanted to go home. They wanted to go back to their own country. They wanted to go back to the homeland. And they began to pray to the Lord, and the Lord heard their prayers. And God, you're quite familiar with the scripture that he sent them a most unlikely man to lead them up out of the land of Egypt. I so enjoyed last Sunday morning hearing Edith give her testimony about when she was saved. And that would have been many, many years ago, and it was especially refreshing to me to kind of remember some things that I still had in the back of my mind, but I wasn't real sure as to whether I had the sequences right or not. But I definitely remembered whenever that the Lord saved her. And I don't know why that stuck with me for such a long period of time. But I remember very distinctly as we were going home that night and the rain was just coming down in torrents, you know, and barely able to see. And all of a sudden she says, "Hi, John Earl." I thought, well, what in the world? You know, but that was her brother who had died, and she had wondered about whether or not where he was. And she didn't understand because she was lost at that time as to what had happened to him. But as soon as God, the second God saved her soul, her first knowledge was that John Earl was in heaven. And I just thought, you know, how often do we as God's children forget what a wonderful experience that was the moment that God saved our soul? I still remember very well whenever that I was saved, and some of you heard me say, and it's just me, that my first thought was, if I flap my wings, I can fly. Well, I never had any wings. I never have had any wings, and I never will have any wings. Somebody says, well, maybe when you get to heaven. No, I'm not going to have any wings when I get to heaven. Angels have wings, but I'm not going to have wings. And you're not going to have wings. I'm sorry to disappoint some of you, because I think some of you got the idea you're just going to fly around up there in heaven. Well, we may get around all right, but you aren't going to fly around. Anyway, and then my next thing was is that when I really knew that I had been saved was when I went back to church that night and the invitation was given and I didn't feel like I needed to go up there. Man, what a good feeling that was to not have that conviction and that condemnation, to know that something had happened to me that I didn't feel that way anymore. And I've never felt that way since. I've had a lot of condemnation. I've had a lot of conviction that God is working, but never that I was lost again. Condemnation for the things that I had done wrong. Conviction for the sins that I've committed. But let me assure you that I've never forgotten that moment when the Lord has saved me. One of the few things that I can say this morning that I've not forgotten. I have not forgotten when the Lord called me to preach, and I've not forgotten the moment that I acknowledged that call to preach, as Edith mentioned last week. The last thing in the world that I ever thought that I would be doing would be being over at Nemo at a revival and getting up and announcing that I'd been called to preach, because I had not told one single soul, not my mom, not my dad, not my brother, not my girlfriend, anybody, not one single soul had I ever said anything to them about God having called me to preach. I had a kind of an unusual experience along that. And I'll get to my message here. I got a couple extra minutes this morning, so I'll take a little free time here. I'll never forget that right after I got saved, Granny Reno was in the service with us, and she went over to my mom and she said, "I think the Lord has called Kent to preach." And I won't use the word that I used this morning to describe her. But I say that old blank needs to mind her own business, because she doesn't know what she's talking about. Well, she probably was closer to hitting the nerve than I dared want her to think. But I never told a single soul until I got up that night over there and told it. I've never forgotten that time. I still remember. I can vividly see it in my mind's eye. I've never forgotten the next morning when I had probably the most difficult job of ever telling anyone about my being called to preach, when I had to go and to tell my mom and my dad and my brother. You see, the Spirit wasn't nearly as strong the next morning as it was that night. That night, the Spirit of God was so powerful there that I ended up and acknowledged it before I hardly even realized what I had done. But the next morning, I had plenty of time to think about what I've got to do. And I will tell you this, that I waited. Lee was still in school. I was already out of school. And he was the first one then that I was going to be able, I have to tell, because I knew as soon as he got on the bus, some of those kids were with us that night before, and that was going to be news. Old Lee goes out to get in and wait for the bus to come up the hill, and I go out with him. And I stand there, and I said, as the bus almost got to a stopping point, I said, Lee, something I got to tell you. Wait till the last minute. Hard. I said, I told last night I'd been called to preach. And old Lee just had a look of shock on his face and just turned around and jumped on the bus. I can understand that. I'm sure he could not believe what he had just heard. I went back in, and by then my dad has already left. He's gone down to the farm. I'm supposed to be going down there to help him. And I go in and I sit down with my mom. And mom's still at the breakfast table, and we sat there, and she said, how was church last night? Oh, man. I said, I guess it was all right. And I sat there a little bit, and I said, well, Mom, I've got to tell you that I acknowledged last night the Lord had called me to preach. And Mom and I sat there and cried together. And we cried a little while. Mom's words were, oh, son. I stayed longer than I should have. And when I got down to the field, my dad was perturbed, to say the least, because I was supposed to have already been down there working. So I figured, well, I just will tell him now. He's already upset anyway. And so when I told my dad what had happened, he just almost shouted. He just thought it was the finest thing in the world. He was so excited about it. So my mom cried and my dad laughed about it, you know. And I was in a state of complete turmoil. Some of these things you don't forget. I remember that the Lord, over all of these years, has kept His promise to me when He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He has never failed to remember. He said, I remember I called you to preach. And I remember that you were probably the best description of what the Apostle Paul says whenever he says those whom God has chosen to preach the gospel. You fit the bill. And I know, and I knew then, that you would have to have my help. And I still do today. A lot of things that I've forgotten. Sometimes people come and say, oh, you remember whenever that you were preaching this, and I didn't know. Sometimes, unfortunately, I don't. The children of Israel had forgotten why they were originally down in Egypt, but they remembered that if they were going to get out of there, that it was going to take the Lord. And so when the Lord sent them down, this fellow by the name of Moses, they looked and said, my goodness, this man is not the man to lead us out of the land of Egypt. He's not even one of us. He's been raised in the house of Pharaoh down there. We don't trust him. And so Moses says, listen, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to choose from among you some people to go out here, and we're going to have a prayer meeting. And they go out there and they have their prayer meeting, and when the Egyptians hear about it, they said, you know what, these people got too much time on their hands. They got time to go out here and have a prayer meeting. This is what we're going to do. We're going to increase the quota of brick that they're to produce. If they've got that much time on their hands, we'll increase their burdens until they don't have the time. And that's what they did. And who gets blamed for it? Moses. He was the one who set us up to take us out here and have this prayer meeting. He's the one at fault. So they were upset with him. But God said, listen, Moses, you're going to be the man that's going to lead them up out of the land of bondage anyway. And so they did finally, they were convinced that God was with him, and they were excited about leaving the land of Egypt. And God says, I remember how you were whenever that you were down there. I remember how you were when I began to lead you, and I led you out of the land of Egypt, and you followed me. And I went before you, and I was the light ahead of you, and I was the one who went before you and conquered all the enemies. I remember how you were, and I blessed you as a people. But now you have forgotten. You have forgotten how I blessed you. Your fathers, your forefathers should have passed along to you, and they did not. Let me say to you this morning, each and every single one of you that are here, that every single one of us are indebted to those people who were in this place 165 years ago, who were here 100 years ago, who were here 65 years ago, who were here last Sunday. We are indebted to those people for the privilege that we enjoy of gathering together to worship the Lord. That there have been people down through time who have remained faithful unto the Lord and have stood true to His Word and have preached the gospel that people like me and like you can be saved. And we need to remember that. And then we also need to accept the responsibility and not forget that God has entrusted us with a portion of His work to carry on. Now then, the prophet said Israel was holiness under the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought, out of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. Now the Lord said to the old prophet, He says, what have you people found wrong with me? That's certainly true today. What has God's people found wrong with Him that they have gone far from Him? That we've strayed away from Him. And it is easy to stray away from the Lord. I kid you not, I know from personal experience how easy it is to get sidetracked. How easy it is to be overtaken in a fault. Paul said, writing to the church from one place, he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We need to understand there are times whenever that we are going to be overtaken in a fault. But there are also going to be some times whenever that we can be the spiritual ones to help those who have been overtaken in the fault and to restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. The Lord said, what have you found wrong with me? Let me tell you something this morning. You have never found anything wrong with the Lord. He is perfect. He is perfect. He's the only perfect person there has ever been. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they three as one are perfect. There is no sin. There is no imperfection in them. And you cannot find any fault with them. The fault does not lie with them. The fault lies within us. The Lord said, you know, I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I blessed you. I gave you all these things. I brought you into a plentiful country. The priest said not, where is the Lord? You had people who had the responsibility. It was given unto them. The authority was given unto them. My power was given unto them. But they didn't ask, where is the Lord? and they that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. See, the Lord said through the old prophet Jeremiah, you know, the priests didn't do their job. The pastors didn't do their job. The prophets did not do their job. We need to sometimes take a look and see, are we doing our job? Have we forgotten? The Lord certainly remembers. Wherefore, I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The Lord said, my people have committed two evils. First of all, they've forsaken me. They've forsaken me. And second, then, they have then tried to find them a substitute. Let me assure you this morning that every time we get away from the Lord, we're always looking for something else to take His place. God teaches in His Word we cannot serve two masters. We will serve one. And we make the decision as to which one we're going to serve. Every single day of our lives, too often we forget how good the Lord has been good to us. But the Lord says, I remember that you are one of my children. I remember that I saved you when you were lost. I've blessed you. And now I don't understand why that you have gone away from me, have followed after vanity and are become one. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without habitation. Also the children of Noph and Telephanes have broken the crown of thy head. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt, to drink the waters of Sihor? And what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria, to drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that is an evil thing and bitter, that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. The Lord said, it's a bitter thing that you've forsaken me. You've forgotten what I've done for you. Now I'm going to skip and finish up here. 31st verse says, O generation, see the word of the Lord. I want to back up. I want to get just a little more down here. You need to go home and read the entire chapter, the second chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and because I'm going to leave out a few verses here. And it's not that they're important, but I've just got to cover so much territory here. He says, as a thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. I want you to listen to what the Lord says. You know, sometimes I'm amazed at how much of a misconception people have of God today. I want you to listen to what the Lord, what he says to the old prophet. Now he says, you people have gone, you've gone astray, you've made your other gods, and you're serving them. But I want you to listen to what he says. He says, you've turned your back unto me and not your face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. And folks, if there is anything that I'm convinced that this is as applicable today as it was when Jeremiah spoke the words, I have seen this time and time and time again in my life here, of people who God has blessed them, has been good to them, and then they get sidetracked. They get off here and get to the point to where they're pretty independent. They don't need the Lord anymore. They can go on and do what they want to. Oh, they're going to say, I believe in the Lord. But by their lives, they're not. And trouble comes. And you know who the first thing is they're going to call? Oh, Lord, Lord, help. Oh, preacher, pray. Church, pray for me. Yeah. Listen to what the Lord said to these people. He said, in their time of trouble, they will say, arise and save us. Now, I want you to listen to what the Lord says. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? The Lord says, where are your gods who've made you? You didn't want me. You've forsaken me. You followed after vanity and you've become vain. You've turned your back unto me and not your face. Now you're in trouble. And troubles are going to come, people. They come to the saved as well as the unsaved. And don't you ever forget that. God didn't save us and say, oh, you're exempt from everything else under the sun. Quite the contrary. There are more challenges, I think, for the child of God. But we have Him, if we will allow Him, to help us. But we don't have to. That choice is ours. But when we make that wrong choice, listen to what He said. Where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. Yeah. Call on your gods that you've decided you want. You've forsaken the Lord. Now then, you let those help you out that you've decided you want to commit your life and your time to. If they can save thee in the time of thy trouble, for according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord. In vain have I smitten your children. They receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto Israel? A land of darkness? Wherefore, say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Yeah. There's some things we don't forget. But there are some times that we've forgotten that we should not have. And we need to remember that the Lord always knows everything about us. He is good. He is gracious. I would not for one single second want you to think otherwise. But He is also a sin-avenging God that is going to see, as you've heard me say so many times, that sin pays the price. And we are going to be paying the price as long as we live here upon the face of the earth. Not afterwards. I won't have any wings, but I'll guarantee you this. I won't have any standing after I pass that judgment. And every single day have the opportunity to make the decision as to what I'm going to do, because it'll already be made for me. Already made. I remember thee, the Lord said, but you have forgotten me. I remember you, but you have forgotten me. That's my message this morning.